Today with Joseph Prince.
Let me tell you this. Motivational teaching is based on you must do these 7 steps and then you will have the results that you're supposed to have. And if you don't have the results, don't blame me. Because I gave you the steps. Whereas grace is different. Grace, as grace speaks, the power is there. As you come and listen, even before you start applying, you get healed. When God made man, God said it was very good. And God rested. So the Sabbath, which is on Saturday, the Jewish people until today celebrate Saturday as their Sabbath. It's actually the rest of creation. But creation was disrupted. Man fell. And because man fell, God started working again towards man's redemption. And then Jesus came and cried, "It is finished." And he rose from the dead, not on the Saturday, but on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. Sunday is a rest that celebrates redemption, not Sabbath for creation. In creation, man has to work the first 6 days, and on Saturday, they rest. But in redemption, you enter into rest first, and then you can work. Hallelujah!
Jesus walked among the regions of death, and wherever he was, people, nobody ever died in his presence. Because he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever touched him, virtue went out of him and healed them all."
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, you will receive The Overflowing Life, Partake Your Way to Complete Health, 3-CD album. Hear the truth about God's heart towards you and know with full confidence that your Heavenly Father wants to heal you. And for a gift of $60 or more to the ministry, you will also receive a package that includes the Healing Promises from Your Savior 2 DVD album, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, Unlock the Power of the Holy Communion. In this book, discover how you can come boldly to God's table and receive of His supernatural healing, health, and wholeness through the Holy Communion. Let the powerful truths shared ignite your faith to receive your healing today. Request now at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Now, this is a beautiful story. Many of us are familiar with this story, but there are wonderful nuggets of truth on healing, on health, how to receive from the Lord. And also, most importantly, we can see Jesus in His beauty, glories, His excellencies. Amen? Let's go back to verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Now, this feast is a feast of Pentecost. Notice this phrase, feast of the Jews. It has become the feast of the Jews. In Leviticus 23, when God first mentioned the seven feasts of Israel, it is called the feast of the Lord. It means it's the Lord's feast, the Lord's celebration day with His people. Amen. They celebrate their seven feasts of Israel, but now it's become the feast of the Jews. It's become something that is their own feast. They are doing it for themselves, and they are adding a lot of things into the feast, and it's become the feast of the Jews. So after this, there was a feast of the Jews, which is Pentecost in this context, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. The sheep gate, by the way, is the gate by which the sheep enters into the temple for the sacrifice. All right? They enter by the sheep gate. Okay? What a beautiful picture that Jesus, the Lamb, went to the sheep gate to find the lost sheep. And then this pool, there's a pool there, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel came down and stirred the water. And the first one that stepped into the water after he was stirred was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, this stirring of the water, back to verse 3 again. In this lay a great multitude of sick people. I like the Old King James because the Old King James is more accurate in this verse when it comes to the Greek. The Greek actually says, in the Old King James, it says this, in this lay a great multitude of impotent people, people without strength. In the Greek, atanoia is the word, all right? A is negate, which is no strength. People with no strength. People who are diseased have no strength. Impotent people. And there are three groups of impotent people. So let's use the Old King James, okay? In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, the first category, halt, second category, withered, third category. And if you look at the New King James, instead of withered, it says paralyzed. Makes no sense because already you have lame in the center. Halt is lame. And then you have paralyzed. Today we think of paralyzed as pertaining to the legs. But back then, it is the word withered, which means the withered hand. The hand, he cannot work with his hand. A withered hand. Okay? So the King James is more, the Old King James is more accurate here. So let's look at this. Blind, halt, withered. And this is a picture of humanity. This is a picture of mankind. The first one, they are blind. They are blind to God. They are blind to His, blind in their hearts, blind in their minds. Okay? The second one is they cannot walk. They cannot walk for God. They cannot walk in the Spirit. They cannot walk. And behind every physical, there is a spiritual meaning, all right, that God wants us to learn. Yes, God wants to heal you physically, but more important than that, God is after your spirit side. Because long before you had a sickness, all right, there's something happening in the Spirit. You're listening, people. And the answer in the Spirit. So watch this. Like a leper is more than just a leper in the Gospels. A leper represents sin. So when Jesus cleansed the leper, it's His power to forgive sins. Are you listening? Amen? So when you're blind, you can't walk. You can't walk, you can't work. Withered means withered hand. Right? And God put work last. The church put works first. But revelation happens first. When you see right, you believe right. When you believe right, you walk right. When you walk right, you will work right. Back to John 5. Okay, praise God. So they're waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, we know the angel comes down and whoever... See, this verse 4 tells us that you need strength to partake of this healing. You need to be able to get up. Okay? Watch this. Number one, you must see the stirring of the water. But if you're blind, how to see? Number two, whoever steps in first, it's not for everybody. Whoever steps in first will get well. Now, but if you are lame, how to step in? So the whole idea here is a picture of the law. And don't forget, this angel coming down is a picture that the law was given, the Bible says, by the disposition of angels. When God gave the law by an angel through Moses to the people of Israel. Grace is direct. Are you listening? So, church, the whole picture of the stirring of the water is a picture of the law. And there's Jewish people around there, all right? They must have strength to partake of the benefit. So Jesus came, grace came. Now watch this. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Then Jesus asked him, don't forget, Jesus asked him first. Jesus always initiates. Man doesn't. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been that condition for a long time, Jesus asked him. So Jesus knew that he has been like this for 38 years. Jesus knew. Jesus saw him lie and Jesus knew. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? What a question. What a strange question. The guy is there near the water and obviously he's there. And Jesus knew he's been there for 38 years, suffering from a condition for that long. And he asked him the question, do you want to be made well? Why? You know, it's not a strange question as we think it is. When you think of the fact that there are people who get accustomed to their bondage or to their sickness or to their addiction, that for them, that is normal. Look at this guy's answer. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man. Do you want to be made well? I have no man. What man? What an answer. So, all the while, by the way, he didn't know who Jesus was, right? His eye is not on Jesus. Sometimes we know about Jesus and Jesus talks to us, but our eye is not on him. Even right now, Jesus is talking to you. But your eye may not be on him. Your eye is on the means, the water. Don't put your eyes on means. Put your eyes on the Lord. Can I have a good amen? And he has his eyes on means, on the water, the stirring of the water. Not only that, he has his eye on men, mankind. Sir, I have no man. Other people have people to carry them. I have no man. His eye is not on the man from glory. His eye is on man. I have no man. Can I say something about healing? Sometimes healing is easier than we think. We complicate it. Then another thing is that his eye is also on himself. He says that, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. So while he's footing, all right, he can't walk, right? He's footing. While I'm coming. In other words, his eye is on his action. I can't foot fast enough to go to the water. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This man does not know who Jesus is. The next words of Jesus with authority and power, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, in Hebrew, kumi, arise, take up your bed and walk. Now, watch this now. Are you ready to be a debtor to grace? Kumi. And with the words come the power. See, the law wants you to have the strength before you can keep the law, before the law can bless you. But grace, as it speaks, the power is there. Now, I'm not against motivational teachings and all that. I'm for it. Many of them are great people. Many of the great motivational speakers in the world today and in times past are Christians, are believers. So, you know, far be it from me to even knock down motivational teaching. But let me tell you this. Motivational teaching is based on you must do these 7 steps and then you will have the results that you're supposed to have. And if you don't have the results, don't blame me. Because I gave you the steps. Whereas grace is different. Grace, as grace speaks, the power is there. As you come and listen, even before you start applying, you get healed. That's why the power is just in the hearing, in the beholding. The power is there. A lot of people out there, they don't believe that. They don't believe that the power is just by beholding. They must find things to do in the sermon. You must give people things to do. My friend, the doing will come later. The work will come later. The revelation must come first. Their blinded eyes must see. Then they can walk. Then they can work. Yeah, amen. So, Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Why take up your bed? By the way, you know he cannot rise, right? 38 years cannot rise. But there's authority in the words. When you start acting upon his word, power comes. Let me tell you this. One of the secrets of healing, After you pray for God to heal you, I can't begin to tell you the number of times I had pain in my body, in my study. What I do is that I pray and I believe, I receive, I still felt the pain. And the next thing I do is like, what do normal people do when they are well? What do? They exercise. Amen. So I say, pumping position down. And I start exercising. Hallelujah. And I still felt the pain at first, but something happens more than once. I have received healing while I am exercising. It's like faith, it's like a fire, a spark that's on the powder shape of healing. When you act, boom. It doesn't happen when you just pray. You say, Father, heal me, Father, heal me. All right, just take communion and all that. It's what you do after that. You got to rise and act like you are healed. Ask yourself, you've been asking God for healing, for healing, for healing. Some of you have been asking God to renew your youth like the eagles, but you act young. Act young, act strong, act well, and you will be well. Amen. Amen. Ask yourself, amen. Come on, give Him praise. Take a praise break. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. As He rose, He found the explosion happened. All right. Wow, He's well. Amen. And then Jesus says, take up your bed. What does that mean, take up your bed? In other words, make no provision for relapses. So the Bible says, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed. Notice, he became well when? After he took up his bed? No, when he rose up. After he was made well, then he took up his bed. Notice that? So the rise is where the action, the release happens. All right, take up your bed and walk. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well. His emphasis is, he made me well. Right. What an answer. He who made me well said to me, rise, take up your bed and walk. He who made me well. Now, he gave them the answer, right? In case they do not know that he's the one who was sick, now he tells them, you don't know who said, take up your bed and walk? The one who made me well. Then they will ask him, right, naturally, all right, who is the one who made you well? Right? Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? You know how cruel. When you turn Christianity into a religion, grace is not in the picture. You don't care what God has done. I don't care Joseph Prince has all these testimonies or not. Doesn't agree with my doctrine of taking up the bed and walking on the Sabbath. That's what they zero on. Now, I don't believe that this man knew what they were trying to fetch out of him. These people knew it was Jesus. They probably suspected it was Jesus. The word has got around. But he probably thought they want to find the answer. Okay, I need to go through this. And then the one who was healed did not know who it was, but Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Now, Jesus had withdrawn. Next verse. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple. I love where Jesus found him. Jesus found him in the temple. Probably for 38 years, he has not been able to go to the temple. And now the man is there, probably to offer a thank offering. A thank offering to the Lord. So he was at the temple. And Jesus found him there. Now listen, Jesus said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, I want to share something like this. I can't let you go without me sharing something like this because you might have the wrong impression that when you sin, something bad will happen to you and all that. Number one, he's not referring to the kind of sin. After you're saved, how many realize that we still sin here and there? We don't want to sin. We're not interested in sinning. We're interested in serving the Lord, glorifying Him in our lives. But listen, we still sin, right? Anything that's not of faith is sin. So if that's the definition, then what? We all still sin, right? Anything that's not of faith is sin. To him who knows what to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But is that what he's referring to? Because you don't have the right translation or picture, you will think all the time, worst thing is coming, worst thing is coming, worst thing is coming. No, no, listen to what I'm saying. The word no more is something that he did in the past. The word no more in the Greek is mekati, which is no longer. Sin, the sin you did last time, no longer. Now, sometimes, when someone is suffering, I've read this, you know, you can check this online and all that. You can check with doctors also. Sexually transmitted diseases can affect your feet. So when Jesus tell him, all right, in other words, don't go to the brothel anymore. You used to do that 38 years ago. Stop doing that. You understand that? That's the worst thing happened to you. If I tell a person who's smoking all the time and he had lung cancer and we prayed for him, he got healed. Completely healed, verified by the doctor. We know of cases like this, right? Then we tell him, hey, smoke no longer. Can you understand that? That's the worst thing happened to you. It's a specific thing. Hamartanyo refers to a verb, a specific act that this guy knows of. So don't think like any sin, worst thing will happen. No. Listen, we're all forgiven of our sins. All right? Some sins will have consequences. All right? And some of the consequences you cannot reverse. So be wise, understand, you know, where it's coming from. Let me bring this to a close. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, he didn't know their intention. They thought they wanted to find out the identity. All right? He went to them. Notice his emphasis again. He didn't say, oh, the one who told me to take out my bed. That means he has a bad reason. But no, he's very pure in his heart. He went and said, hey, the one who made me well. Again, the emphasis, he made me well. The one who made me well, you're finding out who is it? It's Jesus. Look at the reaction. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Drop down. Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Look up here. I'm going to close with this. My Father is working, therefore I'm working. But why is the Father working and why is he working on the Sabbath? Let me tell you a very sad story. God's dream was shattered because God gave man a free choice. When God made man in creation and the morning stars sang together, God made everything well and then man sinned against God. Now watch this. When man sinned against God, God's Sabbath, which he rested, is a Sabbath of creation. God made everything and God rested. Not because he was tired, because creation was finished and God saw everything that he made, it was good. When God made man, God said it was very good. And God rested. So the Sabbath, which is on Saturday, the Jewish people until today celebrate Saturday as their Sabbath. It's actually the rest of creation. But creation was disrupted. Man fell. And because man fell, God started working again towards man's redemption. God has been working ever since. And then Jesus came and cried, it is finished. And he rose from the dead. Not on the Saturday, but on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. Sunday is a rest that celebrates redemption, not Sabbath for creation. In creation, man has to work the first 6 days, and on Saturday, they rest. But in redemption, you enter into rest first, and then you can work. Hallelujah! That's why we celebrate Sunday. It's there in the Bible, upon the first day of the week. They gathered together. Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead, from one Sunday to another Sunday to another Sunday. There's a purpose for that. We are now in redemption. We are no more in creation. A lot of people are going back to creation to redeem their bodies. They're going back to creation, back to Eden's diet. Eden, but Eden has fallen. Even the good food, organic food and all that. They're all robbed of their nutrition today. Unless God bless us in redemption, nothing avails. But we don't put our trust in creation. We put our trust in redemption. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus the praise. Amen. Hallelujah!
Jesus walked among the regions of death, and wherever he was, people, nobody ever died in his presence. Because he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever touched him, virtue went out of him and healed them all.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, you will receive The Overflowing Life, Partake Your Way to Complete Health, 3-CD album. Hear the truth about God's heart towards you and know with full confidence that your Heavenly Father wants to heal you. And for a gift of $60 or more to the ministry, you will also receive a package that includes the Healing Promises from Your Savior 2 DVD album, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, Unlock the Power of the Holy Communion. In this book, discover how you can come boldly to God's table and receive of His supernatural healing, health, and wholeness through the Holy Communion. Let the powerful truths shared ignite your faith to receive your healing today. Request now at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.